Good morning, good morning. The presence of the Lord is sweet. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 4 and 20 tells us this, that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And that word power there is the word dunamis. And I know that Rue's been speaking about it in the other services, about this dunamis power. But I want to just begin to show you a few things that I see about it. But first, let's look and see what he says, why he says this word is not in word only, but in power. Go to Luke 7 with me. Because God has something he wants to make us aware of, because he's wanting to see that his anointing, that his life is poured out among all of us. Because, see, nothing's going to happen until we recognize the anointing of God, until we begin to look for the anointing of God in every area of our life. Just say this with me. I am a spiritual and supernatural being. I am a spiritual and supernatural being. See, when you accepted Christ, you stepped out of that old nature. You stepped out of that dead nature. And you stepped into a nature of life. You stepped into a nature of being a spiritual, supernatural being. We're made in His image. He was a supernatural being. He was definitely a spiritual being. We're made in His image. And see, what we see here in Luke 7 is part of this answer here. Let me set it up. John the Baptist sent an envoy to go talk to Jesus to see, is he the expected one? Is he the one that he had been anticipating? Is he the one that John had been speaking about? Is he? He's just wanting to make sure, because right now he's facing death and he's wanting to make sure, did I give my life for the right cause? And his answer in verse 21, he says, at that very time, well, this is verse 20. So when the wind had come down to them, said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And at that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Of all those things, one of them was speaking. The rest was doing. God is a God of the supernatural. He's a God of action. And He's a God who wants us to begin to walk in the same kind of power and authority that He walked in. But there's a preparation that has to happen within our heart. I began to speak about some of those things on Wednesday night. For those who were here, there'll be a little bit of a review. But if you would, just turn with me to Ephesians 3. I love this prayer. And we'll just start in verse 16. Ephesians 3. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. In other words, that word power there is once again the word dunamis. To be strengthened with dunamis in the inner man. To be strengthened with dunamis by His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes to breathe on this dunamis power. He comes to release this dunamis power in you. He comes to encourage and uplift and bring forth this dunamis power that's within you. God has given you this dunamis power, and He wants to breathe upon it through the Holy Spirit. He wants to help you to recognize what has been given to you. There's many explanations for what dunamis is, and when I looked it up, this is probably one of the longest references that I've ever seen for a particular word, but the Lord told me to sum it up like this. He said, it's the demonstration of who I am. Dunamis is the demonstration of who God is. That's a short, sweet definition. It's the demonstration. So now when we begin to look at it, he says, you're going to be strengthened in your inner man through this demonstration of who I am. See, this demonstration of who he is means that he begins to show you his character and his nature through his actions in you. And then eventually through you. There aren't many things that can express the nature of God more quickly and concisely than to have a miracle happen in your life. When I got saved because God did a miracle and healed my back. And when I experienced that and I began to experience a little bit of who he is, I had a demonstration of who he is. And guess what? There was no more denying that God existed. When there's no more denying God existed, then there's only one logical conclusion that you can come to, and that is, I got to get on with this. God wants to have that demonstration of who he is. He wants to release that demonstration of who he is because that's what strengthens each and every one of us. That's what strengthens us to go on with him. It strengthens us to be able to speak out and reach out and become the witness that he has called us to be. It's what strengthens us to go through the journey. Because see, not every day of the journey is going to be all roses. But see, he always promises you that he's more than enough. He's more than sufficient. But I began to see that there was three things that happened as a result of this dunamis power coming into your life. And if you look here, what does he say? He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He strengthens us so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Because see, when Christ is dwelling in our hearts, certain things begin to be unlocked. Certain things begin to happen. Let me finish this thought and I'll come back to that. And so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, this is part of number two. Christ dwelling in your hearts was number one. Rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That's number two. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Because see, when we know the love of God, when we know this love of God, there are things that begin to be unlocked and opened up in our life. When we know this love that surpasses all of our understanding, it surpasses all of our experience. If it surpasses our knowledge, it's already past the place of what we've experienced. And that means that once I have an experience with him, then my next experience is already past that too. That means that you're sitting at the beginning of an unlimited number of experiences of his love. An unfathomable depth of experience of his love. Because see, his love is always going to surpass that which you've experienced. And there's a purpose for that because see, that begins to open up things in your life. What happens next? The third thing that would surpass the knowledge that you may be filled up. This is the reaction. This is the result of those first two things. That you're filled up with the fullness of God. That you're filled up to the fullness. He says right here, that you're filled up to the fullness. Filled up to what? To all the fullness of God. As we're filled up to all the fullness of God, then there's a response that happens within our system. There's a response that happens in our thoughts. There's an action that begins to happen to us and with us. And things begin to become complete. Because that's what fullness means. Abundance. It means complete. To become complete in God. That's what he's talking about. You become complete in him. And now listen to this in verse 20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. According to that dunamis, that demonstration of who God is that's working within us. So not only did he bless you, not only did he bless you by giving you this dunamis power to start with, but now he's beginning to unveil within it a blessing for you because the dunamis is within you. And all we have to do is allow it to work within us. Our part is to allow it to work within us. When we allow it to work within us, when we have that going on in our life, now we're giving God an opportunity to do something with the very thing that He's going to use to bless us. See, normally, when you read this next line now, to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, people start thinking in their heads, you know, how many garages they need to build for the new Cadillacs that are going to park. This is not what God is trying to convey here. God has no problem with being a blessing in your life, but He's trying to convey that there's something even greater than a physical material thing. He says, but because He's wanting to release to you something that's far superior in the relationship of your life with Him. Because He's wanting to release to you that love that brought you into this place. See, it's the love of God that gets you to the place of the fullness. It's the love of God that allows you to be able to know and enjoy who He is. And as you know and enjoy who He is, then there's an alignment that happens with Him. And out of that place of alignment, there's a fullness that is released because now God becomes complete in our life. I know some very wonderful people, but you can't talk about God around them because they don't want to talk about God. Well, you know what? There's not very much of God's dunamis working in them if you can't talk about it. God wants to release Himself. And He wants to release blessings on our life, but He wants us to understand the fullness of what that is. There's no doubt that He wants to release power, that He wants us to look like Him, that He wants us to be able to walk in a nature that's in accordance with His nature. But He says this, He says, the fascination with power can lead many astray if not coupled with the love of God and a revelation of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is your balance and your protection. All I have is yours, when you will submit it to me. Submission to me is the key to the release of divine authority. It's not about how much we know. It's not about what we've done. It's not about who we've been. It's about what we will let Him do. How much we'll give Him an opportunity to do something in our life. Some of the simplest people in the world can carry the greatest anointing, simply because they choose to release. They choose to let God do what He wants to do. And guess what? He's not against you having something, because see, He'll add to you according to all that He has for you. It says, my heart is revealed to those who will seek my will. Power is usually sought out as a way to control or manipulate others for personal gain, a way to increase stature or puff up in pride. Power coming through my love causes a release of my glory when it is in submission to divine will. See, that's what happens, see? Because when we walk with God, when we allow Him to reveal it, then there's a release of His will that happens within us. There's a release of His will, and as there's a release of His will, there's a release of divine glory. Because it's not us getting the glory. It's Him. Truth is demonstrated when my love is activated. When God begins to pour out in our life in these different ways, see, there's things that happen. When we begin to know love, when we begin to know love, it's an end to the insecurity in our life. It's an end to the worthlessness and the unworthiness that we often perceive ourselves with. When God's love begins to really show out in your life, there's a release from the place of fear, anxiety, all those things, all those parts of fear are broken off of our life. Why? Because the love of God has filled us. The love of God comes and He brings us into the place of strength and courage and life. He brings us into an acknowledgement of who He is. And as there's an acknowledgement of who He is, then there's a place of infilling in your heart. There's no more emptiness. Well, I can't speak for everyone else, but I can speak for myself that I know that before I found Christ, there was an emptiness that was in my heart. There was an emptiness that could not be answered by any of the things that I tried in the world. When we find God's love, there's an infilling for that place of emptiness. There's no longer a need for me to try to find these other answers because I found the answer. And that's what God wants, to come to the place of seeing that He is the answer. And because as we see that He is the answer, then we can let go of those things that where we try to earn His approval, where we try, you know, our performance and our other things that we're trying to do to gain our spot with Him, because we're assured of His love. He wants to release us into that place of love, release us into that place of assurance. Jealousy, strife, greed, all those disappear when there's a fullness of love. We got a chance to go on this cruise, and we were blessed to do that, and it was really a wonderful thing. But you know, when you got up from dinner, after you had all that you could want, I didn't have any jealousy whatsoever for somebody else who was sitting down to have a steak. I could care less. If they were going to have a lobster, I could care less. It didn't matter what they were going to do because I already had more than enough. When you have more than enough, when you understand God's love is more than enough, you no longer have a need for jealousy. You no longer have a need for a lot of the defense systems and the mechanisms that we have going on in our lives. Because why? Because God is more than enough. When His fullness comes upon us in those ways, there's a release of truth into our hearts. There's a release of truth. When you have more than enough, suddenly selfishness has no more place with you. And you can begin to walk in selflessness. Selflessness is going to look a whole lot more like God than selfishness. We have to understand that. And as we understand that, we know God has a fullness because there's something that's already been given to us. Now we are looking for places to give out. When you become full of this love of Christ, then the natural thing is to give it out. When the love of God comes, we can walk in assurance and confidence. When that love is activating in our lives, it doesn't mean we have to be perfected in it. It just means that we have to allow it to do what it wants to do. We allow it and give it space as we become yielded to it. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And see, this is Paul is crying out here. He's crying out to be released from this thing that's been attacking him. He's released from this thing that's been eating at him. And the Lord comes and speaks to him. And He says this, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Dunamis is perfected in weakness. Dunamis is perfected in weakness, meaning that dunamis, or the demonstration of who God is made complete in weakness. When you realize that all of a sudden that I can't do it all, when you come to that moment where you recognize that I've been trying to do it all my life, I've been trying to do this thing, I've been trying to carry the load for everybody, I've been trying to be there for everybody, I've been trying to do the answers all to myself, and I can't do it no more. It says it's perfected in weakness. When you recognize it, He's made complete the demonstration of who He is. Now He gets to step in and become who He is. He gets to step in and demonstrate His power and His authority in your life and in the lives of others, because you gave Him a place because you couldn't do it anymore on your own. It's not up to us. All we have to do is provide Him a place where there's some fertile ground. We just provide Him a place where there's some yielded heart. As we yield our heart, as we come into this place of openness, there's everything that God needs to do, He will do. It's just a matter of us becoming transparent before Him. Because as we become transparent before Him, everything else can be accomplished by Him. Our transparency before Him is one of the greatest gifts that we can give. Our willingness to be changed is one of the greatest gifts that we can give, because it's through our willingness to be changed that His dunamis is perfected in us. It's made complete in us. The demonstration of who He is becomes possible when we'll allow ourselves and give Him some space. He's serious about this thing. He wants to change, and He wants to bring us into the place of change. He wants to bring us into the place of change by the love of God. See, it's the love of God that begins to mold and shape and reform our heart. There's a place of transformation that can only happen in the love of God. Because see, in the love of God, there's a place where we're suddenly secure enough to allow Him to do it. How many of you have been in a place of worship and God comes to you and says, I want to do this? And you go, okay. Why? Because when the love of God is on you, you'll give Him anything. You'll deal to Him and do anything that He wants you to do. Because He knows our hearts. He already knows what it takes to transform you. He knows what it takes to bring you into the place of destiny and fullness of your walk with Him. He wants to transform every part of our heart and our being to come into that place of knowing who He is. We were talking 2 weeks ago about being joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I think it is. Then when a man becomes joined to the Lord, he becomes one spirit. Becomes one nature with God. When we come one nature with God, there's something that happens. When we become one with Christ, when we allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, there's a release of power and authority that happens, and it can't happen any other way. When we become one with God, suddenly all the place of doubt is erased. Christ didn't get up in not even one morning and go, Father, what must I do to be your son today? He just was. There was never a doubt that He was the Father's Son. If we'll be that convinced, as we're that convinced, when we walk in that assurance that we are the Father's child, we are the Father's Son, then we're just as convinced that we're walking and able to walk in that inheritance that only comes from Him. What He's looking for is to provoke us to recognize what He's already given to us. Because as we recognize what He's given to us, we can recognize what He's already set aside for us. That the fullness of His inheritance is available to you. And it comes from this recognizing His place of who He is. It comes from recognizing that we've come into a place of oneness. We've joined into a place of oneness. When Christ dwells in our heart, we're coming into a oneness. We become a place where we're actually seeing focused of being the spiritual being that we are. Becoming and walking as a spiritual being. That means when we're at work or we're at Walmart or wherever it is that we're going, that we're aware that we are a spiritual being. And that we carry with us an atmosphere that can change the atmosphere that is around us. And as we carry that atmosphere, we're recognizing that we can bring the presence of God with us. It's not just something that we have at church, but it's something that now can begin to change everywhere that we go. Begin to help and moderate the actions of others around us. Because we choose to recognize the presence of God dwelling within us. It is a choice. Why is that important? Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. If you want to really help somebody, release the anointing on their life. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks off whatever stronghold, whatever's oppression, whatever depression, whatever has come upon them, whatever has caused them to not succeed or be able to do what they needed to be able to do. When you recognize it's the anointing that begins to deal with that thing, then all of a sudden, as you release the anointing, then the authority goes with it. The authority for change. The dominion for change. when we begin to recognize the dominion of Christ and that dominion is dwelling within you, then you release that dominion to go and have its way on the situation that stands in front of you. God is wanting to challenge us to think outside just of ourselves, to think outside of the things that we've known, to think outside of the parameters that we've seen and look for horizons that are far beyond anything that we've thought or imagined. Because see, His authority is well beyond anything you've thought or imagined. His ability to do is well beyond your ability to even perceive everything that He would have coming up for you. Hallelujah. When Christ is dwelling in our heart, wisdom and knowledge are revealed. He is the treasury of all wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, I think, tells you that. But see, wisdom and knowledge, and that means that sometimes that wisdom and knowledge can be the natural wisdom and knowledge that you need for a situation. He can show you how to fix things that you don't even know what are. I had this computer one time that I was working on, and ever since it had been installed, every 4 months, it would have a little hiccup, and throw up, do all kinds of weird things with its data. And then it'd go chugging along, and it'd be another 3 months, 4 months, and it'd have another little hiccup. Praying in the Spirit, God, show me exactly what pin and on what component needed to be touched. One pin on one component wasn't soldered all the way. I touched it with just a little bit of heat and soldered it incomplete. Never ever had another problem. All these different components on this motherboard, all these different components on the CPU, all the things that could go wrong with that situation, and it's one little small piece of solder that didn't quite get all the way stuck. And it wasn't a matter of anything else but just God showing you. Another time, I had a guy who was just a genius at figuring out software problems. But he came to a problem that he couldn't fix. And I said, well, let me just pray about it. So I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me a sentence that didn't make any sense to me, but I just wrote down exactly what he said. And I went and I handed him that sentence. And he looked at it and he said, oh my God, how did you figure that out? And I didn't. I just prayed. And I wrote down what God said, and here it is. And it took care of what He needed to take care of. I don't know what it did. Still don't know what it did. But God knew what it meant, and God knew what was necessary. It's all that's necessary is for us to walk in obedience to what He says. He will give you the natural wisdom to solve your situation. He will give you natural understanding and knowledge that you have no knowledge of. And sometimes He'll give you a word of knowledge for somebody else, or a word of wisdom for somebody else. He gave a word of knowledge to the lady at the well in John 4. Because see, what did He say? She said, well, I have no husband. He said, no, you've said well, for you've had five husbands, but the one you're with is not your husband. And that word of knowledge brought out the whole city and brought a whole city to the salvation of God. Introduced a whole city to who Christ was. The demonstration, the power, the dunamis, the demonstration of who Christ is was released through that wisdom, that one word of knowledge. God is looking for situations. He's creating and giving us opportunities with situations to walk in the knowledge of Him. To walk in a greater understanding of the love of who He is, and to release this love in a way that's not yet been seen. It's always going to be the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's always going to be the anointing that brings these things forth. When Christ is dwelling in our hearts, then the fear of the Lord is established in our life. That's what He was trying to say when He was introducing, He said that Christ was going to be put in your heart, to dwell in your heart by this dunamis power. Then what He's saying is that the fear of the Lord, the reverence for who God is, comes forth. Why? Because when you've seen Him operate in your life, and you see Him operate in the lives of others, and you're seeing Him operate through your life, it's hard not to reverence who God is. I believe Jesus' reverence to the Father was every day. He was never without that knowledge. That's what he's making available to us. He also makes available the vision and priority for our life. Because Jesus always walked according to the vision that the Father had, according to the vision that the Father had laid out, and he looked at things from the perspective of a heavenly priority. When we allow eternity to be the thing that dwells within us, when we look to eternity as our decision point, when we're looking for a situation that involves us, then we see and we'll make the right decisions based on eternal perspectives. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is delivered when Christ dwells within you. See, in this fullness, we begin to radiate the love, the glory, the glory that appeared upon the face of Moses. I believe that's in the completion. When we're walking in the fullness of God, we're walking in the fullness of that likeness. Hebrews 1 and 3 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory. Let's walk in that likeness. See, this is a prayer. That prayer in Ephesians 3 is, it's a prayer that we would become more and more like God. And because we're becoming more and more like God, God is releasing the fullness of all that he has for us. As he releases the fullness of what he has for us, he's introducing us to this love. He's introducing us to Christ dwelling within us. And as Christ dwells within us, and as we understand this love, then there's a place where he can begin to release all of his goodness. He has to hold nothing back. He will hold nothing back. It is a place where there is answered prayer. And prayer is answered on a continuous basis. Because why? Because we're in alignment with who he is. We're in alignment with his thinking. We're in alignment with his priorities. We're in alignment with what he has already desired for your life. He'll release out of that place of alignment the answer of your prayer. Hallelujah. Out of that place of love, there's a reverence. Not everybody here would know who Sue was, but Sue was a lady who was in our midst, and she just loved God. She loved God in a very complete way. Was she perfect? No. Was she madly in love with God? Absolutely. But her favorite expression was Daddy God. Whenever she prayed, it was always going to be to Daddy God, because she understood him that way. She understood him to be the one who would take care of her and would give her all that was necessary and would release for her the things that she needed to have released. And her absolute faith was for Daddy God. And I saw her pray for things and just saw things happen just simply because she trusted Daddy God. One time there was a young man who was coming out of an apartment that she lived in, and as he came across the way, she saw that his arm was broken. So she went up to him and said, "Hey, may I pray for your arm?" And he said, "Sure." And so she just grabs him and starts praying for him. He was expecting her to pray for him like some other time. She just grabbed a hold of him and prayed for him, and then she said, when she got done praying, she said, "Now, is it better?" And he said, "Well, I don't know, I guess." She said, "That's not good enough." So she grabs him again and just yanks his arm and prays for him. And she didn't have to ask the next time, because all of a sudden he takes the sling thing off and begins to wave his arm up and down and over his head and everything else and said, "It's healed, it's healed, it's healed." There were people who would come. She worked at a food bank, and there were people who came to the food bank not for food, but just simply to get prayer, because they'd been there and the prayers that she had offered up got answered, because she knew Daddy God. Because the love of God in her manifested in these ways. The love of God and the character of God manifested in these ways. And it brought her to the place where she was seeing and receiving the answers to her prayers. Others were receiving the answers to her prayers. That's what God is looking for. And that's where the manifestation of his love brings us into. When Christ becomes the place where he dwells in our heart in such a way is all that, then we no longer need an external law. Because now he has become the law within our heart. He's become that law that was written on our heart. When he's dwelling in your heart, no one has to tell me, thou shalt not kill, because it's written in my heart. All the other laws, it doesn't matter what commandments were. The commandments were only to get us to the point of recognizing that we needed a Savior. But now that the Savior's here, the commandments become things that are written within our heart. The law becomes internalized. It's no longer an external thing. And as it becomes internalized, now it's actually able to answer those questions for you as an individual, not based on who you are and based on your character and your issue. Because what God has a unique thing to apply you to. So instead of somebody making up a rule that you know you can't wear your hair long and you have to tie it up in a bun or whatever those silly things are, you know, you can't wear a tie. I mean, people bring and they make all kinds of external laws trying to bring about a righteousness that can only come about when we allow God to be God on the inside. He is about creating righteousness and justice within you. When the fullness comes upon us, now we can begin to walk in the fullness of who Holy Ghost calls us to be. And Holy Ghost will come and He'll convict us of every sin. According to John 16, verse 8, He'll convict us of sin and righteousness and justice. And because He convicts us of sin, because He's delivering us out of those things, He's convicting us of righteousness because He's delivering you into that righteousness. He's allowing you to see the righteousness that He called you to be and to walk in. He calls you to walk in a righteousness, not of your own making, but of His benevolence to you. He called you to walk in that righteousness, not because He created it, but because He gives it to you. Not because you earned it, but because He desires it for you. Because He desires to have a relationship with you that can only be established through this righteousness. And as you know of this righteousness that He established for you, as you know this place that He created for you, then you can also begin to know this justice and this judgment or this place of decision. That judgment that He's convicting you about is the decision. Because see, it's that the ruler of this world has been judged. And so when you know that the ruler of this world has been judged, then you know that I don't have to give in to Him anymore. When you know that the ruler of this world has been judged, you know, I have authority over him all the days of my life. I don't have to worry about what the ruler of this world wants to do or to say or to threaten. I know and I can walk in God's truth. How awesome is it to walk in the wholeness of the truth? This is what God is revealing in His fullness. This is what comes out of that dunamis power and us allowing the dunamis power to operate in our life. So we begin to approach that simply by asking Him to bring His dunamis into our life. There was a young man who asked me Wednesday night, how do I begin to activate it? And I said, first, repent for where you've stood against it. Second, then you ask Him in prayer for it. And third, you begin to meditate on what it does for you. Begin to meditate. Say, Lord, I thank you for this dunamis coming into my life. And as I thank you for this dunamis that is coming into my life, I thank you, Lord, that it's operating by the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit it is bringing about a newness of the understanding of Christ dwelling in me. And then as I understand Christ dwelling in me, Lord, I am understanding this righteousness that's been given to me. As I understand Christ dwelling in me, I'm understanding this relationship that I can have with you as a son, and I can walk in the fullness of that relationship. And as I understand Christ dwelling in me, I'm also having opened up to me this love that surpasses knowledge, and this love, Lord, I can see and operate in. I receive that love that's being opened up by the dunamis power of God. See, as you begin to just meditate it, it begins to become one in your thought. It begins to overcome everything that the enemy has tried to plant, every deception that the enemy has tried to plant that would keep you from having all that God has said is available to you. He wants to make something available to you that transforms not only your life, but the life of others. He wants to make all wisdom, all knowledge accessible to you. He wants to make this understanding of His love so precious. So precious within our hearts. That we will do whatever it takes to protect that understanding. That we'll not allow the lies of the enemy to violate that understanding anymore. That we'll pursue this place with Him because we know this is the one thing that brings me, that satisfies me. This demonstration of who God is. Lord, we just thank You for the demonstration of who You are. We thank You for the demonstration of Your nature, Your character, Your life. We thank You for the demonstration of Your love. We thank You for that demonstration, Lord, where You show us exactly who You are. By Your love, Lord. By Your indwelling within us. By the fullness that comes as a result of those things. Lord, that we no longer have to wander, Father, we can come to the sureness of Your presence. That we can come to the sureness of faith. That we can come to the sureness, Father, and the assurance of our inner faith and our relationship with You. Hallelujah. So Lord, we just ask You to move within us, within our life, by Your Holy Spirit. Let Your anointing, Father, break every yoke. Let Your anointing break every yoke within us, Father. Let Your anointing break every yoke of fear and abandonment, Father. Every yoke of loss, Father. Every yoke of oppression, Father. Let Your anointing, Father, break every yoke that has attacked our understanding, that has attacked, Father, the wisdom within us, Father, that has attacked our perception of the world. And our perception of You. Let Your anointing, Father, break those yokes, Father, of heaviness. Lord, that we might join into a life, Father, reflected in the character that is You. Amen and amen.